ideas.
So before we right now we're going to really get into dive into all the rules of Borer. I want to try to answer as many questions as we could with the topic of separating Borer, separating different things. One of the things someone brought up last time, I think maybe Salo's brought up the idea, what about peeling? If you want to peel, take an apple. Or not an apple. We'll talk about an apple. But what about a banana? You want to peel a banana, you want to peel an orange. What do? You take off the peel. You throw out the peel. Are you allowed to do that on Shabbat? And why maybe yes, why maybe no? Why would anybody think you're not allowed to peel a banana on Shabbat? From the rules we gave last time.
Because it's the persona, you're taking the persona from
Ah,
the
excellent. Right, the three rules were you had to be immediate, it had to be with your hands, and it had to be good from bad. So over here, you're taking the bad. You're taking off the peel. You're throwing that out. So are you allowed to do that on Shabbat? So the Ramah in Shin Chaf Aleph. Yes, Isaac?
Wouldn't it be considered Derech Achilah to eat the banana, like an orange banana, you take
Excellent.
it off to eat it?
Excellent. It's true. So that's going to be the Ramah. The Ramah's opinion is that that is mutar. Yes. But in terms of regular rules of Borer, it seems to break the regular rules. Right? It's an exception. But you're getting to the core definition of what makes it mutter is Derech Achilah. So that's what you're saying, and that's in fact why it's mutter. So he says in the Ramah in Shin Chaf Aleph at the very end, Sif Yud Tet, it says over there that it's mutter leklof shumim v'tzalim. If you have an onion or a garlic, if you'd eat them raw, I don't think most people eat raw garlic. Raw onion, some people do, if they make it in a salad. But if you want to peel your raw an onion or a garlic on Shabbat, because you're kol v'laniach, that you shouldn't do. You shouldn't peel the onions for a long time later. It's totally fine if you're going to do it for immediate use. That's okay. That is the opinion of the Roma. And the explanation is what Isaac was bringing up is that there's basically no other good way to do it in a way that you can take off the negative, take off the positive, just take out the stuff that you want. Right? The normal way to eat, the only good way to eat a banana is you take off the peel. You could slice the banana with the peel on, and then pull the banana out from inside the peel. Okay, but that's not a normal thing to do. You're not mechuyav. You don't have to go out and go crazy to go out of your way to do that. What we do have to do is, if there's no peel, but it's a mixture, we'll have to get to better examples. So then we're not supposed to peel. Then we're not supposed to separate. But if it's just a peel and this is the normal way to eat it, you take it off. That's the only way to get to the food. That's fine. But you're still only supposed to do it for immediate use. Now, what about using a peeler? Using a peeler to peel a cucumber or a potato? Now, potatoes, nobody eats raw, so you're not really making potatoes on Shabbat. I don't know, potato salad maybe, but what do you say about a peeler? Could you use a peeler for cucumbers or apples?
Maybe no, because we're talking about a professional way of doing borer. Is it?
Right, so that's a good reason to say maybe that's not going to be okay. So according to the Ramah, that is what it sounds like. That it is a problem to use the peeler. That's what Rabbi Ribia, the Lama Temalacho, that's what Ashkenazi post can say, and I think that makes sense. Rabbi Willig, from YU, Mordechai Willig, he says, it's really Machlokes Rishonim. Some Rishonim said what the Ramah says, that the reason you're allowed to peel something is because it's normal to eat it that way. And otherwise, though, it is borer because you're taking the bad from the good. But since it's the normal way to do it, you're allowed to do it this way, even taking the bad from the good. It has to be the altar, it has to be for immediate use, and it has to be with your hands. Okay, so great. So then you can't use a peeler. However, Willig points out that he thinks from some Rishonim, they don't think of a peel with the fruit as a mixture. They look at it as two different entities, one entity sitting on top of the other. Right, we talked about last time if you had books in a stack. Does that make it a tarovet? So we said yes. It's a question. Yes, no. Just in terms of Mishnah Berurah, for us in Shin Tet says that it is. It's in Sif Tevav, the very big one. He goes and gives examples. Kelim Begadim. If you have clothing, you have socks in your drawer, or you have shirts in your drawer. He said that's borer. Okay, but Ravadi, as we talked about before, brought, not that he's Mekel 100%, but he brought a sniff lahakel, he brought the opinion of the Or Sameach, Rabbi Kivi Eger, he brought some opinions based on the Yerushalmi of people that that's not considered Borer. It's pretty distinguishable items.
If you have not in a drawer but in a closet, would that also count or no?
I don't know. I don't know the answer. I wish I did. But Ashkenazi poskim that are following this Mishnah Berurah that we worried even with a stack of books or clothing in a drawer, it's hard to know where to make a cutoff and say it's so distinguished, it's so separate items that there's no way to say it's possibly a tarogus. I don't know where the cutoff is. I would think clothing in the closet for sure is two separate items, but I'm not 100% sure exactly where to make the cutoff line.
Got it. Thank
you. But in any event, there's no question you can take your clothing out of the closet because for immediate use, you can do it with your hand, take the good from the bad. That's obviously totally fine. I would venture to say there's no border. It's not even tarovet. They're distinguishable, clear items. Maybe if you have a very tight-packed closet with clothes all smushed together, you can't see any shirts until you pull them out. Maybe that's more of an issue. Okay. So going to the peeler things, where Willig is in fact makel. He says he thinks the minig is to be makel to use a peeler on Shabbat because he said some rishonim say it's not a tarovet. It's not even a mixture. It's just a peel. One item on top of the other. You can just clearly identify them as two different points. Chamavadia is, I believe, also makel. I couldn't find the Yaakov Seif, but and I don't have my Tiferet with me. But I remember hearing that Rav Yitzchak Yosef was makel on that. But if I have a chance, I'll try to look it up another time. And the reason for that is what we said before. What?
Take a while to try.
I can't hear you. But you said, no, I couldn't hear you. All right. No, I think your thing is on mute.
Okay. Later, right. Daddy, you'll find you the Yosef and require.
Oh, I can find that. I just didn't look it up. That's all. But either way, but I'm pretty convinced that what I remember hearing is that the Sfarim also allow the peeler only for immediate use. One of the reasons also to allow it is a very, very important kula. As we said last time, you can get around almost any borer on Shabbat if you just do it the right way. How do you do it? You do it with the three things we said a bunch of times already. Immediate use with your hands and good from bad. Another big kula, big thing, a big way to do this, a big kula to know in order to allow many things is let's say a fly falls in your soup, or that's a little bit gross, you probably throw out the soup. Let's say you have a hair in your soup, hair in the challah, or hair in the cholent. You don't want to eat the hair, but it's not so gross you're going to throw out the whole plate. So what are you supposed to do over there? You want to take good from bad, but you have a soup. What are you supposed to do? You can eat around the hair, you could, but it's going to be annoying. Okay, so what do we do in those cases when you have a big mixture of a lot of good food and you have one tiny thing that's negative, that's detrimental, you really don't want to eat it, but eating around it is annoying and very difficult and like a big mess. So what do we say in that case? Any other kula? We talked about the kula if you have the silverware or something that you have the toys or the fruits, you could scatter them a little bit. So once you make it scatter, it's not a tarovet. Okay, it's not a mixture anymore, it's okay, but you can't do that with soup. So what are we going to say?
So, throw away some
extra. There you go. Okay. That's the right answer. That if you take good and bad together, then that's not considered regular borer. It's a machlok at why. We'll soon explain it. But basically, the idea is that anytime you're taking good and bad together, that's not borer. It's only borer if I take out, I have grapes. Let's say I have a bowl of grapes, and one of the grapes is moldy. And the rest of the grapes are good, or strawberries, and one of them is moldy. And I say, oh, I don't want the moldy one. I take it out, and I throw it in the garbage. It's an easy, common mistake to make, because it's very simple. You don't think about it. But it's very easy also to avoid. How do you avoid that? You do the other thing. You take the good grapes, you put them in another bowl, and then you spill out the bad grapes, or you scatter them, or something like that. That's it's fixable. It's not such a big deal to fix. But it takes a little bit of thought. However, when it comes to soup, when it comes to cholent, it's not going to be very easy. So the way to do it is you take good and bad together. There's two reasons why this might be mutter. One reason is the Taz. The Taz says the reason for this is it's we look at it as though it's not a normal way to do borer. Derech borer, the way that, you know, the most efficient, streamlined way to separate is taking out the bad alone. The minute you take a little bit of good with it, and it's a little bit more good than normal than you would have taken otherwise, so that's totally fine. That's the opinion of the Taz. Right? So therefore, if you want to, if you have meat with like a little bit of fat or a bone or something you don't want on the meat, cut it off, cut a little bit of meat as well. Don't try to cut it mamish right up to that spot. Try to cut a tiny bit more. Okay, not so difficult to do. That's the Taz's opinion. The Chazanish's opinion is, he says, it's you're making like a tarovet, a mixture within a bigger mixture. Right? Let's say, the way to think of the Gemara, I don't know, the Gemara has a case, whatever. A guy puts a nut on top of a little bowl, or whatever, on top of a feather, or a bottle, that's sitting in water. And the Gemara has a question back and forth. Is that considered like you put down the nut into the water, you put it onto the bowl, whether it's considered carrying on Shabbat because of Hanachah, you put it on top of water, it's not considered carrying. Anyway, it's a Gemara. Do you look at it, the point I'm bringing from that Gemara is, do you look at the mixture as a whole with respect to what the bigger question, or you look at the specific action that you did directly with putting the nut on the bowl? So for our purposes, what the Chazon Ish says is when you think about taking, let's say, a hair out of your soup, you have to think of that as there's a small tarovet that you could draw, a small mixture you could draw that encircles, that encloses that hair together with a little bit of soup around it. Everything else, though, is a separate mixture. So you have one set of tarovas and a different tarovas, and all you're doing is you're separating out the two tarovas. One tarovas you've taken apart, and a different tarovas you have. Okay? Now, one practical difference between these two approaches, and maybe this will make it clearer, I hope, is what happens if you have several hairs in the soup? Pieces of dirt in the, or whatever, several things in the soup that you don't like. You have in the soup 5 pieces of onion, you don't like the onion, or 3 pieces of hair in the soup, or you have 5 flies in the soup. What do you do over there? So what do we say in that case when there's a bunch of things? Could you take out one at a time until you've actually removed all of them, but every time you took out, you took some good and bad? What do we say about that? Can you use this kula many a times, again and again? So, Isaac, you want to say?
What was the kula? Can you repeat it?
The kula is you take good and bad together. And there's two reasons behind it. One is that it's not normal. It's not a normal way to do borer, not the most efficient way to do borer. The second reason is because you've separated one set within a bigger set. I'll try to think of a good example. I'm trying to think. If you have a stadium full of people and you're looking for, if someone saw they had pictures of Where's Waldo at the CM Shah, something like that. You're looking for one person in 100,000 people. So if you're looking in the whole stadium, you're not going to find them. If someone tells you they're in this section and you focus with binoculars or whatever, you focus, you may be able to get them. So somebody, if you're looking at that one section, you might be able to find them. If someone says they're in that section as opposed to the rest of the stadium, are they considered, so to speak, helping you identify where they are? Or just, no, they're separating out a different section where you're going to still have to continue to find them. So for the purpose of Borer, for my analogy, what I'm trying to say is, we look at every section as their own mixture. Each section, you still have to look once you get to that section. That person's not, it's not obvious. It's still a separate entity within a mixture. And therefore, when you want to do separating good and bad, you're taking some good and bad together. You're taking an entire mixture. There's no issue with taking entire mixtures out of a different entire mixture. The only issue is separating the good from the bad within one mixture. Okay, does that make sense? Now, could you do this many times in a row? You can use this kula to use good and take in good and bad together. You can use that in a row one time after another to take out 5 pieces of whatever, 5 hairs from the soup.
Maybe yes.
Okay. Good. What do you say, Isaac?
If you can do it once, why can't you do it multiple times?
Okay. So the Taz would say yes. The Taz says you could because it's not normal. As long as you're doing good and bad at the same time, that's fine. The Chazon Ish, you can't do it. It says, why can't you do it? It says the Chazon Ish, because You can't define when you have five flies in your soup or five hairs as there's like 10 tarovot, 10 separate mixtures inside the soup. The normal way to look at the soup is clearly looked at as one big mixture with a lot of hairs in the soup. A guy puts, let's say, three soup nuts in the soup. So you can say like, oh, I have one section with the soup mandals, with the soup nuts. One section has them. You can identify them. You take it out, you took out an entire mixture with that within a bigger mixture. I get that. However, when you have 25 soup mandals or 30 soup mandals that cover the entire soup bowl, so then it's impossible to say for the Chazon Ish, you're taking one mixture out of a different mixture. It's one big mixture. The way normally, naturally, we think of it is one big mixture. Okay, so L'maaseh, the art school book quotes this as Machloket, and he's Machmir, I think, but Ravadi, I believe, is Mekel on this. I think the Minhag is to be Mekel on that as well. So that's an important kula to know, to use anytime you take good and bad together, it's mutar. Yeah.
Back to your earlier point about using peelers for food and what the Yosef said.
Yeah.
Hami looked it up.
Awesome, thank you.
And one may peel fruits and vegetables on Shabbat using a vegetable peeler, even though it is a tool used specifically for this purpose. But he says, someone who's machmir, tavo alav bracha.
Excellent, thank you. Baruch Hashem, kilor le'inayim. It's great, refreshing to see to hear those words. Thank you. I thought another reason he was lenient was three reasons we can give to be lenient on the peelers. One of them is Willig's reason. Maybe peels and the food are not considered a mixture. It's one item sitting on top of the other item. Another reason to be lenient is because of it goes together. Let's see. Do we give a second reason? That they're distinguishable? I don't know. The second reason right now is what we're saying, that whenever you peel something, generally, you're going to take good and bad at the same time. So maybe it's not a kli, not an item that's specified to do borer, for good borer, because whenever you peel it, you take some of the flesh of the fruit and vegetable together with the peel. Okay? So whenever you peel a potato or peel a cucumber, you take some of the good potato as well, usually. That's another reason to answer the lenient. Yes, I think the Ikar is to be Mekel. Ruwilig said, he wrote his piece, and he said the reason he was lenient particularly is because he saw when he was growing up, he saw that his mother did that on Shabbat. She would use a peeler to peel a cucumber, so he knows the Minhag is to be lenient. Okay, fine. If a person uses a knife to peel on Shabbat, okay, Tavol Bracha, as we said, as Hami found, Chazak Baruch. Good. So, I want to go through a few more cases here. In the Shulchan Aruch of Borer. What happens in Isif Gimel? What happens if you have two foods? Okay, right now, until now we were talking about good and bad, and now what happens if you have two foods? And what is? Could you define one of the foods as good or one of the foods as not good? So the Shulchan Aruch says, in Isif Gimel, in Shin Yotet, Hayi Lefano Shni Mene Ochlim, you have two foods in front of you, Muravim, Borer Echad Me'echad, you could separate the two things, you could separate one from the other in order to eat it immediately. Okay? So, the Shulchan Aruch, not just here, but over here as well, and you see in the first line in the beginning what we read last time, Shin Yotet Aleph, he says, what happened? You have good food. It's all good food. It's all edible food, but I don't like it. I'm picky. And I don't really want it right now. So I'm taking out the part that's not good for me. Is that considered borer? So the Shulchan Aruch says, yes, that is borer. If I don't want it, that's also called borer. Even though it's actually very edible and very good. Shalom Shimon and Shalom Ez. Good to see everybody. So is that considered borer with good food and good food and you're taking out the food that you just don't like? The answer is that is borer, and you see that in Shulchan Aruch. Now, we said last time, if you do it for other people, that's okay. The Prima Gunim has the following very interesting question. What happens if you have raisins and nuts in a bowl, and you want to separate them, not to eat them, but not that you like one more than the other. You like both of them. You just don't like eating them together. You want the raisins to be this side, and you want the peanuts to be that side. or I don't know, Fruity Pebbles, you want to separate the colors, whatever, you have toys, and you want to separate the toys, one toy from the other. It's not that you're using either toy right now. You have one toy you like, and one toy you don't like. What would we say about that? Could we say about that that it's considered borer or not considered borer?
Is it maybe subjective? Like, if we say subjective, we could say that right now your good is the peanuts, and you don't want the almonds. You know, right now your good is the peanuts, the almonds is the bad.
Okay, so that's gonna, if it is subjective, you're 100% correct. But what happens, like, and then you're right, that the rule will be if you want the almonds now, then that's considered the ochel, the psola, the negative part is the part that you're not going to plan on eating now. True. What would be, though, if you don't want to eat either of them right now? But also, it's not that you like one over the other. And you're just separating them apart from one another. Because, or better yet, you like both of them, but you're separating them apart one from another because you don't want to eat them together. You want to eat them separately. Is that going to be borer or not? So the Prima Gadim is brought in the Bir Halacha of the Mishnah Berurah. He brings in paragraph Ayu, he brings the Prima Gadim and says the following idea. He says, maybe if you have two foods, neither of them are considered psola, neither of them are considered detrimental. And what makes something detrimental? Only the fact that you're not planning on eating it now. You don't want it. He said, but what happens when you have two things that are on equal footing? Because you want both of them now, you just don't want them together. Or you want them both later. So he says the Prima Gadim, that's okay. That's not considered borer at all. Because it's Shnei Minei Ochel, and there's no psolet here. No psolet at all. Incredible chidush that the Prima Gadim has. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I have a question now.
Yeah.
Supposing you're putting away, like, fruit salad.
Okay, very good.
Okay, and if you leave all the fruit in the same bowl together, each one makes the other one bad. So it's better, like, to separate the cantaloupe and the honeydew and not have it everything together and put it in separate containers when you put it away.
Excellent. Okay, that would be a similar case. The Mishnah Berurah takes issue with this Prima Gadim. He wants to challenge Prima Gadim from the Rambam, and he thinks it's not allowed at all. Chama Vadya, Chazon Avadya brings this as a discussion. He doesn't say he thinks it's okay 100%, but he does think that the Mishnah Berurah's opinion that it's totally asur min haTorah is not clear either. He thinks it's a safek, and therefore, if we have other factors to be lenient, we can be lenient. But this alone is not, he thinks, is not clear enough of a reason. Because bottom line, what happened is I accomplished something. I separated a mixture that was one big mixture, and I separated the two items. So yes, according to Prima Gadim, it would probably be okay to put away the fruit salad separated. However, what I think you... Okay, I don't know. I have to find a different way to do it. If you're planning, if you're taking one of the fruit salad at a time, one cantaloupe at a time...
Okay, well, like if you made like ice cream on top... Pie a la mode, but
nobody ate
all the ice cream. So if I don't put the ice cream away separately,
right,
the ice cream will melt in the refrigerator, or the cake will get
frozen
if I put it in the freezer.
Okay, I would say
like wasting food.
Right. So my thought would be that there is going to be something to rely on, but I'm not sure it's so simple. What I'll say, there are two reasons to rely on. One is this Prima Gadim. Prima Gadim we just said. That if you're doing it, there's two good things that you like, both of them, and you're not eating either of them right now. That's one opinion. And the other thing that we could talk about is as follows. When people clean up Friday night, let's say they had a lot of silverware, and they washed all the dishes, and they had forks and knives and spoons, and now they want to put them away in the drawer. So if I have a bunch of forks and knives and spoons in my hands, and I just washed a fork and a knife and a spoon, all my hands, and I'm going to take out the fork and put it in the fork slot, and the spoon in the spoon slot. So, aren't they doing separating? I'm separating different items. According to the Prima Gadim, okay, there's what to be lenient. Another reason to be lenient is like this. If you do it the following way, then I think the Rabbi Simcha Ben Kona is lenient, and I think we can rely on that. Like this. You take out one at a time. You take out the spoon, you dry it off, and then you put it back. So, you don't say, I separated two items, and I took the part I didn't want from a different part that I didn't want. Or I want them both equally. Rather, you look at it as though the one I'm taking now is the one I want just for about a second. I don't need it for more than, or even half a second to dry it. But if I take one at a time and I'm drying it, so I'm using it. So I took the good from the bad and I used it. Now that I used it, I can put it back wherever I want because now it's separated from the tarobit. So same with the cantaloupe. If you rely on that, you do the cantaloupe a piece at a time or something like that, then yes, I think that would be fine. But I would then do it into two different containers. In other words, I have the cantaloupe and the honeydew, and I take all the honeydew and put it into this into the container. It's, right now they're all sitting in container A. So put all the honeydew into container B and all the cantaloupe into container C. This way I have taken only good from good. Then we have the prima gaudium and this resemblance of con type of kula. Yes, I think there would be what's our line to do that.
Question.
Yeah.
Can is borer subject to the law of having an a or not?
Oh, very good. I saw the Yalka Yosef before I started that he says there's no rule. I got that far to Yalka Yosef. It's very beginning of Shinya Tet. He brings that is not an issue. I can even share my screen because he says that's going to be, it's a machloket. If that, he says, if somebody does it wrong, some say it is a problem, some say it's not a problem. He says, since you could do it in a way that would be allowed, so maybe we shouldn't say it's a problem of Maaseh Shabbat. He says, lenient, we could be, Ikar is to be lenient on this. Fine. So someone who does it, makes a mistake, and separates on what they shouldn't separate, you could benefit from it. Okay. Though, Shmir Shabbat makes an interesting point, and I think I remember seeing this now at Yalka Yosef, but I don't see that Sfarim should disagree with this, is, let's say I have a bag of jelly beans, and I only like the red jelly beans, and some of them are yellow, or Laffy Taffys, and no one likes the banana one. So, I put my hand in, and I'm not looking, and I close my eyes, or I don't even open my eyes, but I open my eyes, but I can't see what's inside the bag, and I pull out one at a time. And the first one I picked was, if it was a red one, good, I was lucky, I didn't do any border. But I take, the first one I pick, it was a yellow one, and throw it back in. So one of my brothers should get it. So that, says the Shmir Shabbat, is considered separating. Even though I wasn't really planning on taking the yellow one for good, I was only planning to do it for a moment, but still, that's considered separating. What you should do is look, open up the bag so you can see, take the ones you want, and good, do that. That's the way to go. So one other example with two other examples of borer. One of them is not classic. It's hard to think of. Is what happens when you have vegetables? You take an apple out of the fridge, and instead of eating it, your mother says, don't forget to wash it off. So you wash it off under the sink, you rinse it off, and you eat it. Is that considered borer? Why would it be considered borer? Any thoughts? Why are you washing it? Let's say, why are we washing it in the first place?
So I'm bringing the dirt.
Oh, Shimon. So what do you say, Shimon? Is that mutar? I'm separating dirt.
It's nikar, right? The dirt is nikar on the apple.
Okay. You're saying if it's nikar, if it's not nikar, so then how could we be machmir on that? Okay, in here.
Not nikar, you just put under a stream of water, right?
What if it's actually a little bit, it's actually nikar, you can tell that there's like a little bit of fuzz, a little bit of dust or whatever, a little bit of something. On it, now that I run down the stream of water, I can tell that it's actually cleaner.
Yeah.
Sala, why you think it's okay?
It depends if it's derech achila or not, right? If you're gonna eat the potato, I don't know. It depends if you're gonna eat it.
Yeah, I'm gonna eat it right now. So this is a big discussion. Bottom line, the post game say it's okay, but it's a discussion. Rishon Zalman. What? Yeah. So we have to find that. Soaking them because it's separating. Because it brings them to... Right. So in Sifchet. Oh, very good. Okay, thank you. So that says there... Yeah, exactly. Sifchet, if you have a certain type of grain that has parts in there you don't like, you can't soak it in the water because the parts that are bad are going to rise to the top. And you're going to pour them off and separate them out. Okay, so should this be the same thing as that? That should be a problem or not? So we have a dispute about this. Rishon Zalman Orbach was lenient. Now, it seems like you're taking psalm from ochel, you're taking bad from good. So why is that allowed? One way to say is maybe, as long as you're holding the good in your hand, it's not that you're getting rid of, you're not taking off the bad, you're just holding the good to eat. Okay, that's a hard way, that's hard to define exactly what you're taking from what. Rishon Zalman gives a different explanation, which is an incredible idea, but it's very hard to apply, which is from the Shilta Gibarim. He says, the definition of every malacha depends on society, depends on the context. In our day and age, and he says not just in our day and age, and this was probably always the case, people don't think of it as separating. People think of washing a fruit as washing a fruit. They think of it purely as shtifa, as just making it more clean. They don't think of it as two different items that you separated one from the other. They says that's not considered an act of borer. It's a very interesting kula. Well, I'll say I think we're leaning on that, but that's an interesting case. One other case that's very interesting is there's a whole discussion. I don't know if everybody's ever heard of New York tap water, New York City tap water, that some people say, and there's what to investigate about the that there are bugs in the water, copepods. Okay, and they don't get filtered out because there's no filter in the New York City tap water. It comes from a spring, great, but the question is, could you have those copepods? Okay, big machlok in kashrus. Rav Schechter is strict. Rav Willig is lenient. Rav Belsky was lenient. Rav David Feinstein, lenient. Okay, it's a big discussion back and forth, different opinions about this, about the New York City tap water. The OU is strict about this, but it's a dispute. Okay, so what do we say? But it doesn't apply to all the cities, other places. I don't know, in Panama, I have no idea. Assume, though, in most places, they filter. That's the general rule is the tap water is filtered in the aqueduct after they're bringing it to the pipes. So,
what about any filter, any type of filter? Let's say you're filtering like regular, rocks, whatever, middle sediments.
Okay, good. So it's, okay. If you have something in your water, in your juice or whatever, let's say someone has, a type of juice, a fruit juice that has like sediment that's settled at the bottom, you don't want to drink it. So you want to put it through a strainer or a cloth. This is the olden days. If you're drinking from the river, you put water in the bottle, you put a cloth on top of it, and you drink through a cloth or something like that. So that's why you don't drink any worms or anything that's really disgusting. If you want to drink through a cloth or something like that, is that considered straining? So Shulchan Aruch brings that up in Sif Tet. If you put out a strainer and you pour the wine through it, that's a problem. And Sif Yud, he says, "My yayin amayim salulim." If you have clear water, clear wine, you're allowed to strain it because even though it has small imperfections, small things that are dirty in there, it's okay because anybody else would drink it that way. Most people drink it this way. Then if you have something, though, that's dirty, everybody recognizes dirty wine or water, so then you're not allowed to do it through the cloth because it is considered separating. That's considered borer. Okay, so using water to separate dirty water is a problem. Using a cloth to separate dirty water is a problem. Okay, so using a filter, generally speaking, if you have dirty water, is a problem. If you have water that's clean, that most people would drink, Rove Benada, most people would drink, and I would also drink it. It's just, I want it clean, more clean than the way it is. That's not considered border. If someone would not drink this whatsoever, even if someone told them, this is dirty, and there's no way to filter it, I would never drink it this way, during the week or in Shabbat, so I would never drink it this way, then it's a problem for me to use the filter to clean it. So what would we say about straining out the copepods? If I'm strict during the week and on Shabbat, can I strain out the liquids? Can I strain out the water in a filter to get rid of the bugs because I don't want the bugs to be there? What do we say?
It's not nikar at all.
Okay, but for halacha, I think if you think the bugs are asur, they are nikar. It's hard to see, but if you take the glass to the light and you look carefully, you can see the bugs. It's hard to see, but they're small. They go from 5 nanometers to up to like a half a centimeter or something like that. So they are visible, the big ones. They are somewhat visible. Let's say they are nikar. You just don't realize them because most of the time we don't look in it. We don't look in the light. We don't try to check very carefully to check if they're there. And also, if you have a glass that's colored or a glass that has a mug, ceramic, you can't see them. Okay, so it depends on your opinion. If you think that the bugs are, if you're allowed to drink this water anyway, like Rav Willig or Velsky, if you hold like the water, what?
During the week.
Yeah, if you hold during the week, it's not a problem. So even in Shabbat, it's not a problem. You know why? Because it's like the clean water. You're allowed to clean out the clean water to make it more clean. Because I would drink it anyway. So since I would drink it anyway, so then I'm just making it more clean. That's allowed. That's not a problem. However, if you hold it's actually asur, then it's going to be asur. So I asked Rav Willig, if you hold it's asur to use the, is it asur to drink the water because of the kofavads? Are you allowed to filter on Shabbat? He said, no, this is a good reason to hold in my opinion that the water is mutar, that the kofavads are okay. Because if you can hold that they're asur, you can't filter the water either. And then you're going to be stuck. So Rav Schechter holds that the kofavads are asur, but you're allowed to filter. Why? How are you allowed to filter? He has four reasons. They go like this. One of them is, maybe the bugs are kosher bugs. Okay, maybe basically you don't have to filter them. The second reason is, maybe they're not in every cup. Okay, maybe they're only some cups, not other cups. There might be not me and Hamatzah. There might not be so many bugs all the time, so therefore, if it's not so many bugs all the time, you don't need to filter it. Two reasons so far. The third reason is interesting. If you have a filter attached to the sink, not every single time that you're doing it, you're using the sink, using the tap water, you're trying to filter in order to get water to drink. Sometimes you're getting water to drink, but sometimes you're also getting water to wash your hands. So as long as that's like a psik ratio, you're not intending to filter it. Sometimes you're doing it for this, sometimes you're doing it for that. So that's going to be allowed. That's according to some opinions. It's the third reason. And the fourth reason is that there's a very interesting question. What happens if something is not really disgusting, but halacha says you're not supposed to have it? For example, if someone has a dough they made for Shabbat, they made challah, and they forgot to take off the little pinch for the challah and burn it, or get rid of it, or give it to a kohen. They forgot to do this, and now they're coming on Shabbat, and they want to eat the challah dough. Are they allowed to eat it without taking off the dough? What do we say? Just a general question. Are you allowed to eat the dough? What?
Sure, no.
So in Eretz Yisrael, you're not allowed to eat it until you take off the dough. In the Chutz La'aretz, outside Israel, you can eat the dough, and then at the end, after Shabbat, you can take off a piece of challah at the end, and say, Harezu challah, say that this is for the challah. You can do that at the end. Ideally, we do it in the beginning. However,
on Shabbat now, right? Is it borer?
Oh, that's my question. Is it borer? So it's a machloka rishonim. If I separate off a section, I'm not going to eat it. I can't eat it. I'm separating it off for somebody else, for a kohen. But there's no kohen here who wants to eat it. If I have a kohen who's sitting in the room who's going to eat it, great. But today, usually we never eat it because we're tamei, whatever, a whole discussion. According to Sfaradim, you should know, it's ikaradin mutar. You have to just know that the guy went to mikvah, whatever, a whole story. We should find the kohen family, we should get the dwex, we should figure out how to do this. Anyway, so it's a machlok rishonim. Some rishonim say that's considered borer. Some say it's not borer. Why would it not be borer? Some of them say it's not borer. They're on Ramban, they say it's not borer. I'll tell you why. Because it's not considered disgusting. There's no psulit here. It's just food and food. They're both good. For me, it's good to eat the part that's kosher for me. And the part that's only kosher for the kohen is not bad for me. It's asur for me. Okay? It's only halachically, in halachic eyes, negative. But in every other way to think of it, it's totally good food. And therefore, it's not considered separate. So too, Rav Schechter said maybe about the non-kosher bugs in the water. You see, the non-Jews don't care about those bugs. And therefore, if non-Jews don't care about the bugs, it's not really disgusting objectively. It's not solid objectively. It's only halachically. I would be happy to eat the kofavads if they're halachically mutar. The reason I don't do it is because I think they're a problem. So that's why Rav Schechter is leaning with that. Any other questions on the ideas of borer? There's probably more, but any other questions that we didn't cover that we have to think about for borer?
Yeah, I don't understand that svara when it's halachically unwanted. Just because it's intrinsically not bad doesn't mean it's not separating. Just like every other case of separating, we're talking about the
nuts and the almonds. And I'm separating the ones that I like.
The puzzle pieces and the. All of these things aren't intrinsically bad.
So it doesn't need to be intrinsically bad for it to be borer. It needs to be either subjectively or objectively psula, negative. Either it's disgusting or it has to be, I don't want it right now. But this, I can't say I don't want it. I just want to keep the Torah. That's why I want to not, don't want to have this thing that's not kosher for me. In fact, my real desire is I'm happy with it. It just, I can't have it because the Torah said so. So that's not considered like I don't want it. An example that might be like this.
That's subjectively unwanted. It's subjectively bad, huh?
Yeah, so Lama said, right, Belsky has a tshuva.
Probably our exception for what's...
If Belsky has a tshuva, he disagrees with Reb Shechter about this. He says that opinion that Reb Shechter is bringing up doesn't exist. It's a fierce tshuva. Yeah, you can look in Shulchan Halevi. It's Shulchan Halevi Chelek Aleph in Reb Belsky's tshuva. He has a tshuva about this. He doesn't like that sort at all. But okay, I'm saying what Reb Shechter said. I think there is an opinion.
What about, let's say, a pile of clothing? Is that the same as a pile of books? Like, let's say, you have a pile
of
clothing, you want a specific something.
The best way to, right, the best way to do it is similar to the books. Best way to do it is to take out the clothing that you need. That's totally fine. Or take out good and bad at the same time. The part that you want and the part you don't want. But if you, as I said before, Chum of Adi would be Mekel. If you can use this Svarot, the fact that it's somewhat identifiable, and you might use it later on Shabbat, if it's clothing you might actually use later, so then it is going to be allowed. Any other questions on this, Inyan? Okay, I'll just say, I don't know, a story I was thinking to say last night, I didn't say. Pesach is going to be a little different this year, just in general. Right? You can think about it also in Hilchos Borer. Everything in Hilchos Borer is subjective. Very much depends on your perspective. There was a rabbi, I'll be just done in just a minute. Rabbi Shapiro, who's a new rabbi in town. He went somewhere outside of New York and New Jersey in America. And he moved with his family, and he was a new rabbi, and he's starting a new school with his kids, and he's only been there a few months, and now everything's settling down, but he's very, very busy. And he has a special needs child, 14 years old, his name's Rafi. And Rabbi Shapiro's son, Rafi, was a very friendly person, but wasn't the most bright guy, and wasn't so talented in everything. But he went to a special needs school with no other Jews, just him, and he was very friendly to everybody. He always said hello to everybody. He wasn't great at everything, but you know, he was on the higher spectrum of what people could do. One time, his son asked him that, and they were doing something special in his school. They were going to do a play for the holiday season. It was coming up Hanukkah time, and Jews and non-Jews, holiday season, and they're going to be in the. He was going to be in the play, and he wanted his father to come. So his father tried making arrangements, tried figuring out the time that he'd be able to come. And yeah, sure enough, the play was at 10:45. He made sure to come early, and the guard said hello to him. He said, "Oh, your son's Rafi, we like him very much. He always says hello to me, and everybody likes him. Great." So he goes and sits down, and he sees it's a very big audience. There are a lot of parents, all the parents for all the different students in the special needs school are there. And he starts hearing one student after another do this holiday song from this holiday, not Jewish, this, that. And everybody doing such an excellent job, and everybody's crying. Everybody's not crying. Everybody's clapping and applauding as each one goes. And then his son gets up in the middle, and they get up to and he does O Dreidel, O Dreidel, and he's off tune, and his clothing doesn't fit right because he pulls up his pants. Everything looks a little bit weird, and he stops after 10 seconds, and the crowd doesn't start applauding, and his son gives him a very nervous look. And all of a sudden, this rabbi, the father, stands up and goes, "Rafi, woohoo!" And at the top of his lungs, starts cheering him on. "Such a great job!" And everybody starts to applaud him. And he saw his son put on a big smile. And he said after, this rabbi said after, he said, he doesn't think he's had a chance in his life to make as big of a kiddush Hashem as he did that time. He said, some people, you know, have expectations one thing is going to work out. Some people, we get the short end of the stick. It comes out not what we wanted. If we appreciate what we have, we celebrate the things that we do have, the situations we are in, there's a tremendous amount to be excited about and to be appreciative of, and look at the good side of things. This father obviously was extremely proud of his son, and for him it was worth it to go crazy and to show everybody that he did an awesome job, even if for other people's standards it was very low. So I think that perspective might be a good one to take into to Pesach with us. All right. Thank you, everyone. Have a wonderful Chag Kasher Sameach.
Good night. Good night, everybody.